Hi, I'm Anna Harris, and this is the Defined by God podcast, a support resource for Christians looking for hope and healing from trauma and adversity. Join us as we interview experts, hear stories of healing from real people, and discuss and define common types of trauma, how it impacts us, and the latest and best strategies for healing and thriving. Well, hi, everyone. I am so excited to bring my guest on today. I hope you're all doing well and you have a minute to really listen to this podcast or watch it on YouTube. I have as my guest Andy Glover. And Andy and his wife, Ganella, they are part of Father Heart Ministries. They travel the world teaching about the Father Heart of God. And I'm very excited about what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be talking about something called the orphan heart. So we're going to look at what is it and how does knowing God as your loving Heavenly Father, how does that impact any orphan tendencies and things like that. And who knows what else we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to just bring on Andy. Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Well, good to see you. Good to be on.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on. I am really excited for my guests to get to know you. Can you just kind of give a little bit of background in case people have, you know, never heard of you and Ganella and your ministry?
Sure. Well, currently we're a part of Father Heart Ministries. Myself, my wife, Ganella, we have been in full-time ministry probably since 1985. We started out in Youth with a Mission with them for about 13 years. Then we started our own ministry, which we still have to this day, Revival to the Nations, RTTN. And we're based in America, but we get to travel back into Europe, especially Sweden and Britain, where we're from. And also we've been doing a lot of work in Africa and a lot of things in Pakistan as well. But the main part of what we do is under the umbrella of Father Heart Ministries. We do A schools, B schools, we do conferences, and most of the times we're teaching along the lines of the revelation of the Father's love.
Yeah, which I think people who've heard me teaching, you know how impactful that has been for my life and for a lot of people's lives. Yeah, absolutely life-changing. And even though, like, sometimes the word life-changing can seem like a cliche, but the revelation of God as your loving Heavenly Father, because that's so different than a lot of people are taught, it is life-changing. I was just mentioning to you a minute ago that a lot of people that are finding my ministry right now are coming out of very conservative type of churches where the view of God is not loving Heavenly Father.
Yeah. And we've seen that around the world. We've seen that in every nation, that a lot of people's perspective of God is a hard taskmaster. He makes unreasonable demands of us, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's this discovery, I believe, that's happening around the world, where people have discover that, hang on a sec, God is a loving Father and He loves me. He's not a taskmaster. And so that has been a progressive revelation, I think, that has been coming to the whole body of Christ around the world, Anna.
Absolutely. So we're going to be talking about what's known as the orphan heart. And really, I guess if I could describe it, because we don't tap into the relationship that we can have with God as a loving Heavenly Father, then we're orphan-hearted. We feel like orphans. So can you talk about that? Like, what is the orphan heart, and why do most of us have it at one point in our lives.
Yeah, let me just start by just giving you a little bit of the background and my discovery of this. And it was way back in 2005, and I was listening to a set of CDs by a man that's no longer with us, a man called Jack Frost. And he started to mention or use a term that I'd never heard before, and it was orphan-heartedness, or having an orphan heart. And at first, when I heard that, I thought, well, that's not me. I was brought up in a good Christian home. My dad's a pastor. I'm not an orphan. I know who my mom and dad are. But then as he started to describe really the attributes and the characteristics of what an orphan is like, I really started to identify. I'm thinking, that is me to a T. That's actually who I am, you know. And the reality was, it when I kind of took all the gloss off and went down to bare basics, was that I didn't know God as my father. I knew him as my savior, or my healer, or my provider, or my protector. All those were very clear. We'd been missionaries, we'd served the Lord, we knew those, but I couldn't categorically say in my heart that I knew him as my father. And just very simply by that definition, it showed me that my heart was orphaned. It was fatherless. And that's really the reality of it. I was listening to a podcast by Chris Valentin, who's one of the pastors at Bethel Church in Reading. And he got a group of businessmen together, and he asked this group of businessmen, what do you think is the most common problem around the world today? And it's a very, you know, it's a huge question. It's like, can anybody really answer that? But most of these guys came back and said, the real issue in our world today is fatherlessness. Now, obviously, that many times is manifest into the realities of home life and family life. But from a spiritual perspective, we all carry this sense of, I don't know God as my father, therefore my heart is orphaned.
Yeah. So what are some of the characteristics that you saw in yourself, like when you were thinking, oh, that's me, or maybe for other people, what are some of those that people might recognize in themselves?
Well, that's a deep question. And great question. One of the things that I've actually come to see and understand is that my view of the devil, Lucifer, Satan, however you like to call him, my view of the devil has somewhat changed. And it's changed to the sense that I see the devil as the originator, as the author, if you like, of this perspective, of this orphan. So I would call the devil the orphan spirit. And there's a couple of really key passages in scripture. One of the key passages that I often look at it is actually found in Isaiah chapter 14. And in Isaiah chapter 14, the prophet Isaiah speaks about some of the characteristics that were found in Lucifer, now the orphan spirit. And we realize that this is where orphan-heartedness started from, when Lucifer decided in his heart he wasn't going to worship God, he wasn't going to be with God, he was going to be a God unto himself. And he basically, in those decisions that he made, he rejected the whole idea of being fathered. I don't need a father. I can live for myself. And so if you permit me, I just want to quote to you what it says there. So what it actually says about Lucifer, it says, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, etc. So it gives like what we call the five I wills. And when I started to look at that, and reflect on that, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is really what I'm like. At my core, there's a lot of rebellion there. Outwardly, I can look like I'm submissive, but at my core, in my heart, I'm quite rebellious. I don't want people to really know who I am. I'm afraid of really revealing who I am. And so I'm profoundly independent. And that comes through so clearly when we read these five I wills. I'm going to do what I want to do, et cetera, et cetera. But on the outside, I'm going to put on this kind of facade that I'm okay. I'm a good Christian. I go to church. I worship the Lord. I pay my tithe, et cetera, et cetera. But my heart is far from God. And you see that very, very clearly in the existence of Lucifer before he's cast out of heaven. And so that I see that as where all this originated from, that he is, you know, that's what influenced Adam and the woman in the garden. That's what influenced every generation, preceding generation from there on out.
Father of lies.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. And what's interesting there, Anna, is what's really profound to me, and it's something that I've looked at a lot and thought about, is that in Lucifer's deception coming to Adam and Eve, that in them taking of that fruit and eating it, just literally in a very small, short space of time, their whole perspective of God is distorted. They don't see God any longer as a loving father, but now they're afraid of God. They take on this persona of fear and control and shame, et cetera, et cetera, and they hide from God. And that really, and so that's where we see this whole perspective about God's taskmaster has come from. It's rooted right there in the Garden of Eden, you know, as the orphan spirit starts to infiltrate, you know, the reality of human existence.
Yeah. And it seems like one of the things that when we feel like an orphan, one of the things, well, a couple of things. One is we feel like we have to take care of ourselves because, or otherwise nobody else is going to do it. And like, even if you think about in the world, in the natural, an actual orphan that grows up without loving parents, they would think, I've got to take care of myself because otherwise nobody else is going to do it. So there's a scarcity, there's a scarcity mindset. Yeah. I had an example, a friend of mine gave me this example, and it's really perfect to think about the difference. She had two dogs, one of them that they had raised from a puppy, and another one that they had rescued. And the one that they had raised from a puppy, when it would go and eat, it would just go over to its food bowl and eat a little bit and maybe come back a little bit later and eat a little bit more. But the one that had been rescued from the streets would lean over its food bowl, watching to make sure nobody else is going to take that food. And it would eat all of it every time because otherwise somebody else is going to get it. And I just thought, that's a perfect picture, of that. So
it is.
So yeah,
and that was, I saw that in my own life. That became so clear to me, because I think what happened in my walk is that I probably had a huge revelation that I was an orphan and really didn't know what to do, because I started seeing those things. I'm thinking, I'm grabbing at everything, and there's an orphan heart there. What do I do? And I realized then, well, I need God to come in and really be a father to me to resolve this in my heart.
Right. Because some of the characteristics, those are the result of not having God, in our heart, as, really knowing him as our Heavenly Father. So what did that look like for you when you began really walking with him as your father?
I think one big area where the father's really dealt with me is in the old area of finances and just living from this place of poverty and living from this place of having to grab at stuff and even being greedy. And I realized God really had to come in and do a deep, deep work in my house. And actually, to the extent I had to let everything go. I had to take my hands off. And that was part of what the Father was doing in me. And it was, in one sense, I was relinquishing something that had been almost like an idol to me. But at the same time, I was actually embracing God as Father and letting Him now be the source of my provision and really deal with that. And instead of living from an orphan perspective, live from the place where I'm a son and He's going to father me, He's going to look after me. But it took a season of time, and it wasn't immediate. It was like this was a journey that I kind of went through.
Yeah, that's good. And really coming to know God as a father, yes, we can have a mountaintop moment, which I really did in 2003. But then it's ongoing, you know, and someone I was talking to recently said, you know, we can drift back into religion, or we can drift away from our relationship. And so it's really good to have reminders of, you know, who God is and who we are to Him. Because so what we're really getting down to is the difference, the heart difference between being orphan hearted or really knowing who we are as sons and daughters of God.
I think that's huge, Anna. I think it's huge because I've heard a lot of people kind of equate the love of the Father to the baptism of the Spirit. And that might be an unfamiliar term to some people, but what generally happens in a lot of people's understanding of the baptism of the Spirit, that's when we receive the Spirit and perhaps have certain gifts accompany it. But one thing that I've really come to understand about the love of the Father is that love is a verb. Love is something that is happening. So, when I love my wife, it's something that is perpetual, ongoing, continuous. So when we say the Father loves us, that is a continuous reality. So coming into this revelation, it's not just a one-time experience, like you said, but it's like, well, hang on a sec, He's loving me today as well. He's loving me right now. And it's connecting with that reality. And that's where our heart shifts, our heart moves, and it becomes more and more a living daily realization that He's our Father.
Right, right. And because we know, like, the fact is God loves us as a Father, and He has always been loving us, but we have not always been aware of it. And so, yeah, you're right. It's not just a one-time thing, but it's ongoing, and being aware today for right now, He's loving us. He loves us. And we can step into that and live in that reality.
Yeah. I think as well, one of the things that I've become more aware of now in this season of life that I'm in, that even in my darkest moments, even in my most sinful moments, He was still loving me. Mm-hmm. And none of that sin, or whatever we call it, darkness, ever turned caused Him to turn His face away from me. And so that the reality of that is becoming deeper in my heart, that He doesn't just love me when I'm good, but He loves me when I really mess up and what have you. He's there loving me, you know. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Can you talk about that a little bit more? Because that is definitely a teaching, a mindset that some people have been taught over the years, which is when we do wrong, God has to distance himself from us. And even if we're a Christian, but we make a mistake, we sin, whatever, that God, he can't look at that. He's so holy, and he has to distance himself from that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's huge. It's huge right now. I think it's a theme in across the body of Christ. But it's beautiful in the Garden of Eden, because it was Adam and Eve that moved. It wasn't God. God was saying, "Where are you?" You know, it was them. It was them that actually moved. And one thing that I remind people about is that when God reached out to us, in that whatever state we're at, he says to us, "We love you, come to me," or whatever he says, in that place, he is not perturbed by our sin. So our sin or our brokenness doesn't stop God coming to us or reaching us. It's not a hindrance in that one little bit. Our sin, what our sin does, it blocks our way to God. It doesn't block God's way to us, because the cross has resolved that. The cross has resolved that, you know, that whole issue. But it's, you know, we still have to get through the mental mindset that I've got to do something good in order for God to love me, etc. So one verse that has been huge for me is John 14, 23, when Jesus is telling the disciples, "If you love him," etc., etc. And then it says, Jesus says, "And we," which is the plural, "and we will come to him and make our home in him." Now, when I started to look at that, I'm thinking, hang on a sec here. The promise of Jesus is very clear, that his promise to come and live in us does not require on our part for our lives to be right or pure or holy one little bit. God is not put off by our sin, by our brokenness, by our shame or anything. God absolutely loves us as we are. So as I looked at John 14, 23, I'm thinking, wow, he comes into my darkness, my sin, and he loves me right where I'm at, despite of all that.
Yeah.
That is not going to contaminate him, or, you know, he's not going to get slimed by some demon. He's actually going to come into the place of our darkness, make his home, and change our lives. And that's beautiful. So the requirement for us to change is not on us. The requirement for us to change is not on us. God has said, "I am going to come and love you. And as we're loved, our lives will change." And the religious perspective is being, come, change, repent, and then God will come to you. But right, the act of repentance, the act of changing, is the work of God in the heart of the believer. We experience God. We get to live in the reality of his life on the inside of us. And consequently, we're changed. And I think that has been a very strong thing that we've heard in our pulpits: repent and God will meet you. No, God right. meets us in that process, we change.
Yeah, that's so good. I like that. In the process, we change, because he has made his home within us. That's so good.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And I also love the scripture, I think it's in Romans 8, where maybe, I don't know, nothing can separate you from the love of God. You know, and then it goes through all the things that cannot separate you from the love of God.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, John 8:39 is a beautiful verse, and that creates all sorts of questions, doesn't it? You know, not just the side of heaven, but the other side of heaven. I don't think anybody is actually separated from God, because he is in all creation.
Yeah.
You know, so that poses all sorts of questions and challenges a lot of things that we've actually been taught. But there's nothing that can separate us from his love.
Yeah.
Otherwise, his love wouldn't be absolute. It wouldn't be perfect love. It wouldn't be love is defined in, you know, in scripture that we have.
Yeah. Another thing, this is how I grew up, and maybe a lot of other people did too, which was I had a relationship with Jesus. And, you know, I was taught, you ask Jesus into your heart. And I loved Jesus from an early age, and I had a great relationship with him. But I definitely did not know God as Father until much later. But when I did begin to know him as Father, it brought a lot of healing. But one of the scriptures that helped me so much with this is where Jesus says, the Father himself loves you. So it's not just Jesus who loves us, but the Father himself loves us.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, I've heard James Jordan say this, and I've repeated what James has said. He says, you know, it's not Jesus. The reason Jesus died on the cross wasn't because he loves us. The reason Jesus died on the cross was because he knew the Father loves us. That verse that you've just, Romans 8:39, which talks about nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's the love of the Father, the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's like, wow, you know, this opens, something else up, which is amazing, you know. And, you know, I teach all the time that the very reason we meet Jesus, the number one reason why we meet Jesus is so we can meet the Father.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is one thing that the church in general has been remiss in, is that it has introduced people to Jesus, but stopped short of also then going on to introduce them to the Father. And of course we know Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we need to take that extra step, because it's such an amazing reality that we can live in.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, just following on from that statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Obviously, Jesus says, there's no one comes to the Father except through me. But one thing that I again reflect upon, Jesus goes on to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Mm-hmm. I am in the Father. Father's in me. So I think it's what we've been perhaps taught about our perspective of Jesus, because what Jesus tells us is that look at me, gaze at me, see me, because as you see me and gaze at me, you are going to see the Father. Mm. You are going to find the Father. And I think you're right, we've absolutely stopped at Jesus, but it's like Jesus is just the doorway. He says, I am the door. I'm just the doorway into a whole new experience with God being our Father.
Yeah, that's so good. And, you know, when we've seen Jesus, we have seen the Father, which that helps us, I think, with knowing the character of God, because we don't often think, you know, that the character of God is the same as Jesus, but that's what Jesus said. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah. And it brings us full circle, Anna, because, you know, we started off talking about the orphaned heart. And I realized in my orphanness, in my orphan perspective, orphan thinking, that my view of God was wrong. So my perspective on his character had been or was distorted. I didn't see the Father for who he really was, which is, hang on a sec, there's a miss here. There's something wrong here. Because even though I can read it in the scripture, it's not really changing my life. But as my heart started to change with the Father and his love, in that, hang on a sec, this is who the father is. It's something a little bit different to what I thought he was like originally. So the character of God got redefined in my life as my heart got healed and restored to being a son from this place of actually being an orphan. It got changed, you know.
That's so good.
Wow, my eyes opened. Wow, this is what the father's really like. And I'm a son.
Yeah, that's so good. So what would you say, like, what are some characteristics of a heart of a son compared to that orphan-heartedness?
Yeah, I think one of the major contributors to orphanness in our own lives is this profound independence or rebellion. And, you know, it's that's really at the heart of Lucifer's attitude, et cetera, et cetera. But what I've realized in my own discovery of this is that the father is being a father appropriate to who I am. He's coming into my world, into my life, to be a father. So whereas on the one hand, I was really independent, and at the heart of that, there was rebellion. Now there's this dependence and reliance on the Father. It's like I'm seeing the Father. I'm seeing the Father in my life. And that really is a huge characteristic change for me. So he's become a father in my world. And part of that has been my heart crying out, I want you to father me. I want to be your son. I want you to love me and to father me. And my wife and I have been very, you know, for years, we've really been quite passionate about this. We've said, God, you can deal with whatever area in our hearts that you want to deal with. You can change us and deal with us. And we've seen that. We've seen his love coming in. And whereas before there was so much independence and rebellion, but now there's this growing sense of independent and me leaning on the Father, holding on to the Father, being close to the Father, and realizing as well in that, Anna, that my relationship with the Father, really, what has really happened is that because I'm in Christ, I have been brought into the same relationship that Jesus has with the Father. That's really the reality about it in the spiritual realm, if you like.
That's really good. You know, I love talking about our true core identity. And what you're saying, it sounds like, is that the more that we know God as Father, he comes into our hearts and we walk with him and he fathers us, that really that is what changes us into who we really were originally created to be. You know, really just taking away that the characteristics of the orphan heart.
Absolutely. I think the true definition of our own identity comes in the light of the revelation of the Father's love. We know and experience his love, and in that place we have a true defining of who we are, and it starts at this place of I'm a son, and everything starts in that arena, in that place. And so I could never discover sonship. It was like, you know, it was like a utopia that I was never going to reach. All the time I'm an orphan, so I'd strive for it, I try and work for it, because God's a taskmaster. But in the revelation of love, all of a sudden, hang on a sec, this is, I've just acquired something and I didn't even try, and I'm a son. And, you know, we've seen I'm a little afraid to use the word favor or blessing. I just, you know, it's not that we spend hours praying for it. We've seen that on our lives because we've walked as sons and daughters with him. but it's really defined who we are. It's defined who we are because we've walked with the Father. Mm-hmm. And my original goal wasn't to try and find out who I was. My original goal was to try and find the Father.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that is what defines us. We are his children. So, that's so good. Yeah. So just as we're going to close in a second, but would you mind just praying for people that might be listening, that maybe they're hearing some of this for the first time? Just a little couple minutes prayer, if you don't mind.
No problem at all.
Okay.
So, Father, we just thank you for this time together and just the short things that we've been able to share. And I ask you, Father, for everyone that either sees this YouTube cast or listens to the podcast, Father, their hearts will open. And I ask you primarily, Father, that you would reveal who you are as a Father to them. Father, their eyes will see and their ears will hear, Father. And any obstacles and all the orphan hearted stuff, Father, would just start to melt away in the light of this revelation of love just being poured into their hearts in a very special way. And Father, I thank you for understanding of this that's happening all around the world. I thank you for understanding that everyone that's listening to this and watching this fresh understanding coming to who you are as a Father, and consequently our discovery that we're sons and daughters before you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's so good. Thank you so much. So I've had your website up. It's rttn.org. Is that Revival to the Nations? Is that right?
Yeah.
Name of your ministry. And you've got a couple of books. Do you want to show those to us?
I think you can find them on the website. If not, you can find them on Amazon. But the first one, I'm not sure if this is back to front or not, but it's called Double Portion.
Yeah, I can see it. Mm-hmm.
Entering into the Father's Promise. This is the first book that I wrote, and it's really looking at the transition from Elijah to Elisha and how that applied into our lives. And really, Elisha's request for a double portion was his heart to be a son. He wasn't asking for more power. He was asking to be a son and discover who he really was. That's the first one that I wrote. The second one, my wife and I wrote it together. It's called Finding Our Father. It's become very, very popular. And if I remember, I think I've done about 6 chapters. I'll just run through them. Becoming a Child Again, Hid in the Wall, The Story of Our Crisis, Orphan-Hearted Christian, or Orphan, The Orphan Heart, A Foundation of Comfort, A Foundation of Approval, and The Need for Conversion. Mm. And so this is a really good little book to get. If you've, some of the things we've actually talked about today, it's very simple. I'm a pretty simple guy. And they're great little buys. I think they're like $15 each on Amazon. I can't quite get it in the picture. There's something like that. Opposite to what you said.
Yeah.
So they're actually on our website and they're on Amazon as well.
Yeah. So, and let me take this off because it's hiding your name. Andy Glover. So if you look on Amazon, it's Andy Glover. And I am also, I will have all the show notes and links and also the links to your books. I'll have it on my website as well. There will be an episode page with all the show notes. And so there will be a link to Andy's website and also a list and the name of the books as well. So, all right. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I appreciate it. Any last words to our viewers and listeners?
No, I just wish you God's grace on the journey. And it was great being with you, Anna.
Yeah. Thanks so much. All right. Well, thank you to everybody that's watching and listening. Appreciate so much everyone's comments and views and shares. Make sure to like the subscribe to our YouTube channel and to the podcast. And y'all just have a wonderful week. And I just bless you really to know the love of God as a father and on an even deeper level. Thank you so much for joining us for the Defined by God podcast. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at definedbygod.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and email list.